Blog Talk Radio.
Engines checklist.
All right, Captain. Before start engine checklist. Circuit breakers and switches.
Checked and on.
Voice recorder.
On and tested.
Oxygen.
On 100. Speakers checked.
Indicating lights.
Checked.
Fuel control power switch.
Tested and on.
Anti-skid.
Tested.
Stall warning.
Tested.
Speed command.
Tested.
Altitude alerts.
3 normal and reset.
Instrument transfer switch.
Off.
Auto brakes.
Well, let's see. Auto brakes are not on mine, but let's see. Auto brakes. Where are we on the checklist here? We got the same checklist. I got the 727.
Yeah, me too. Different company, huh?
Different company. they're off. I see it now.
Emergency exit light?
They're armed.
Alternate flap switches?
I thought maintenance had come in here and switched our checklist on us there, bud.
Yeah. I wonder if the shuttle has this problem.
I don't know. But go ahead. Go ahead with the checklist.
Alternate flap switches.
3 off.
Flight recorder.
Tested and set.
Seatbelt no smoking.
Seatbelt no smoking is on.
Transponder.
Standby.
Window heat.
On.
Anti-skid.
Off.
Pedostatic heat.
Checked and off.
Nav lights.
On.
Fire warning.
Switches in and tested.
Emergency brake and pressure.
Off and the pressure's good.
Flight instruments.
Checked, checked and set.
Mach airspeed warning.
It's tested.
Static sources.
Normal.
Gear lever.
Down in 3 green.
Omega.
Checked.
Radar.
Test and standby.
Radios and altimeters.
Checked and set.
GPWS.
Tested.
Flap lever.
With the gauges.
Stab trim switches.
Normal.
Start levers.
Cut off.
Speed brake.
Forward.
Auto speed brakes.
They're disarmed. Lights are out.
Parking brakes.
Set and the pressure's good.
Trim control.
Green van and set.
Electrical panel.
Check the battery's on.
Fuel panel.
Well, fuel panel, it looks like we got 27,000 pounds and the panel is set.
Release minimums are checked. Okay. Hydraulic panel.
Checked and set.
Oil quantity.
We've got sufficient gallons.
Air conditioner pressurization.
Checked and set.
Auto pack trip switches.
They're off.
Bleed valves.
Or open.
We are down, upstairs stairs.
The lights are out and it's up.
Now we're down to the line.
Okay, we're down to the line. Will you check back with Margaret?
All right, let me check with Margaret to see if she's finished in the cabin briefing. Stand by one. Hey, Margaret, how's it going back there?
Everything is secure and the briefing is complete. We're ready to take the wings of man into the wild blue yonder.
Thanks, Margaret. Hey, Captain, everything's okay in the back, ready for pushback.
Okay, bud. Looks like another on-time departure for Eastern Flight 24.
Welcome to the Eastern Airlines Talk Radio Show. Your hosts for this evening's show are Margaret Bars in Jacksonville, Ponte Vedra, Florida.
Hello, Eastern family.
Bud Hescock in Jacksonville, Ponte Vedra area.
Hello, folks. Glad to be with you.
And Neil Holland in Jacksonville, Ponte Vedra, Florida. Jim Hart and Martha's Vineyard.
Hello, everyone, and we're delighted to be with you again.
And our new radio show historian, Captain Steve McDonald, in the Lake City, Florida area. Hello, Steve.
Well, Steve hasn't joined us tonight, Jim, so we'll have to stand by for Steve, but I'm sure he'll be on sometime during the show.
Okay, very good. And I'm Jim Hart, and we're coming to you live from Martha's Vineyard, from Jacksonville and Lake City. Can you believe we can host from 3 different locations at the same time? Cyber broadcasting is the new way for radio.
And tonight's show is sponsored by St. John's Realty Group in Jacksonville, Ponte Vedra, Florida, specializing in residential real estate in Northeast Florida, both sales and rentals. And the show is also being sponsored tonight by Alliance Business Schools, a professional business school specializing in real estate and mortgage professions.
We hope the Eastern family and friends will call in this evening, as we want to hear from you about what you did with Eastern, where you are now, and what you have been doing since Eastern.
Our call-in number is 213-816-1611. That's if you have unlimited long-distance time. Or if you'd like to call in on our new toll-free number, it's now available at 1-877-572-1861. Now, let me repeat these numbers again so we can jot them in your address book for future calls. The call-in number, if you have unlimited long-distance time, 213-816-1611. If you'd like to use our toll-free number, it's 1-877-572-1861.
We try to have a guest for our show during each broadcast, and tonight's guest, we're hoping to talk with Captain Jim Gardner, REPA Director and Convention Chairman. He does a great job with REPA. He'll be checking in later during the show. Last week's show interviewing Captain Steve McDonald was very informative and entertaining, centered on Eastern's Captain Dick Merrill, which Steve knows quite a bit about. We seem to have made it through the one-hour show without any hitches, mainly because our producer, Eric Otero, decided to donate his time to help us get through the show flawlessly.
Way to go, Eric.
Way to go, Eric.
All right.
Folks, we can tell you that if you ever have any problems with your computer, you need to call Eric. Even though he's in Jacksonville, he can sometimes fix computers long distance with a simple click here or there. His services are very reasonable, and if he can't fix it, then I doubt very seriously if Bill Gates or Steve Jobs can solve your problem.
And you can reach Eric by dialing 407-697-9735. I'll say it again, 407-697-9735. You hear something?
I hear something. It's late.
Oh no, I think I hear trouble walking in the door. Co-host, look who just showed up. Well, hi, Luann. Seems as though you have your own show music following you around these days. Why, yes, it does. I can't understand it, but it gets so that every place I go now, especially when I'm walking down the street, I hear people singing or whistling that little ditty. Heck, fire, back home, they're still tooting their horns, leaning out the car windows, banging on the car doors and yelling, hubba hubba. I'm quite the celebrity there. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Luann. I know our lives are certainly enriched by that. But tonight we would really like to talk about how companies select the brand name for their airline when it's created as an entity. For instance, Pan American came about because the name is used for both North and South America, or all of the Americas. Delta was associated with a section of the U.S. Delta who had their roots in the Mississippi Delta area from whence they came. Northwest Airlines, which originally served the northwest section of the United States and then west to the Orient. Eastern Airlines served originally the eastern section of the United States, and Ozark that came out of the hills of southern Missouri. Now, Luann, Air Kentucky, with its headquarters in Hazard, Kentucky, must have thought about a name other than Air Kentucky since its name is so local. Do you know any of the history of this? Well, I heard tale of a company originally using the town's name, Hazard, in its airline name. But, you know, for some reason, many people oppose that name, Air Hazard or Hazard Air. And I'm sure it didn't help that they painted bright yellow flames on both sides of that big old red plane. People just seemed to get the heebie-jeebies over it. But, you know, I guess Captain Neal, the company, just figured they'd do the state of Kentucky proud by carrying the name of their town Hazard all over the place. And, you know, likewise, I heard shortened versions that were considered, and I understand they thought about Air Tucky, Air Ken, Old Kentucky Air, KFC for Kentucky Flying Company, but I think Colonel Sanders shot that one down. Now, personally, I kind of liked Air Tucky. It just had a little snip to it. You know, and speaking of little snips, guess who now just walked into the studio? Oh, no.
Oh, no. Don't tell me we've got him with us.
Oh, no.
Luther, is this your theme song?
What y'all picking on me with that theme song for? I'd hear that the FAA was considering some new airlines, because I heard you talking, but they said they might have to change their names on account it might be confusing to air for traveling folk.
Hey, Luther, I heard that a bunch of investors from New York want to start an airline called Air Wiener with Frank's in a Bun meal service, free email addresses, and in-flight photographers for pics of the latest non-clothing fashions. And I've also heard a rumor that our Terminator is in the planning stages by none other than Captain Arnold Schwarzenegger, and his airline, I love this, will be promoting close-knit family connections for all of your family.
That's interesting, Luther. And what names did you hear?
Well, you know, I was thinking, she was saying Air Wiener. I imagine they got projectors on
all four sides.
No. Okay, sorry about that. Well, there's ATA. It's an Air Terra Airlines where no waiting, in lines for inspection. Carry-on luggage is always welcome. Cockpit tours and destinations including Havana, Tehran, Syria, and Pakistan. Well, you tell the pilot where you want to go, and then there's GPA. Now, that's a great gay pride area with nonstop service to San Francisco and Key West.
Oh, Luther, here's a show we could do just on how the airlines pick their names. Frontier, Mohawk, Allegheny, Southern, Piedmont, and so on.
You know, I know many airlines with local names are now out of business. All the good names were taken when they gave out the CAM airmail routes back in the early days of aviation. American, Eastern, TWA, of course, they had part of their names in the original awards, like Eastern Air Transport. When it was assigned the CAM airmail route, I forgot what number it was. But so in the early days, some of the names were already selected. And but that would be a very interesting show, I believe, to discuss, you know, and talk about some of the airlines and how they branded, how they came up with their name and their selection. So at any rate, that would be good in the future. I think I...
Do you hear, I hear breaking news alert.
I think
do you?
We have breaking news coming up.
Ah, we do, we do. Well, let me tell you about number one here from Liberoge France. Airbus breaks new order record. Airbus says it signed the largest aircraft order in history, an order of 200 of its fuel-efficient A320neo jets from Asian low-cost carrier Air Asia. Air Asia said Thursday that the order is worth $18.5 billion and is the largest order ever by an airline in terms of number of aircraft involved. Carriers often negotiate discounts on the list prices. On that tops a record set just Wednesday by Airbus with its order of 180 aircraft from India carrier Indigo. The announcement was made at the Paris Air Show, where Airbus has enjoyed huge success with its fuel-efficient A320neo. What do you have, Margaret?
Well, Dateline June 22, 2011, inside the Korean A380, stow the whiskey and perfume. Now, a Korean Air A380 double-decker flew again Tuesday at the Paris Air Show, as it did Monday, in place of the damaged Airbus test A380 that ripped off a wingtip while taxiing past a building Sunday. Now, Korean has the jet configured with the lowest density of passengers of any super jumbo so far. In fact, it'll carry 407 passengers compared to, for example, 538 on the Air France A380. Now, the upper deck is all business class with 94 lay-flat seats. There are two tiny lounge areas at the end of either cabin where at each maybe half a dozen people may sit around a bar. And downstairs, there are 301 seats in coach class. At the front, there are precisely a dozen first-class seats for the elite. And as is the new airline style, these fancy seats are encased in hard plastic bubbles that, believe it or not, look like bathtubs. And at the rear of the main cabin, there's a duty-free store and a very small version of this type of store you see in airports. Bottles of perfume and expensive alcohol are displayed on backlit glass shelves. Now, surely they had to clear those shelves and stow the whiskey and perfume from Monday's aerial flying display, which banked the airplane at angles you might prefer not to fly at as a passenger. And come to think of it, even in normal passenger service, how will those little bottles stay on the shelves? The mighty A380 is certainly stable, but even this giant may be tossed in some turbulence. Now, the A380 marketing analyst James Williams said that the display bottles, and I love this, will be held in place with magnets in regular service. But yes, for the flying displays on Monday and Tuesday in Paris, they were packed safely away.
Dateline, June 22. Another Russian deal for Boeing. On the heels of yesterday's order by Russia's flagship airline, Aeroflot, for eight large 777-300ER jets, Boeing Wednesday announced a commitment by the smaller UT Air Aviation for seven 737-900ERs and 33 of the 737-800s. UT Air says it operates the largest aircraft fleet in Russia, consisting of over 200 airplanes, including 21 Boeing 737-500s, 7 Boeing 737-400s, 4 Boeing 737-200s, and 2 Boeing 737-800s. That's quite a fleet.
Yeah, it's about time Russia finally turned to a good product, because their TUs and whatever they've got over there flying, I tell you what, they've had a terrible record of keeping airplanes in the air.
They got pretty cockpits, but they don't fly.
They got pretty cockpits, but they don't fly. But it's great that Boeing is getting a lot of orders now around the world. So there is quite a competition going between the two, Airbus and Boeing. But I've got a dateline out of Macon, Georgia, June 23rd. Just yesterday, two American suppliers are charged with shipping aircraft parts to Iranian military officials to bolster their aging air fleet. Can you believe that?
No, I can't.
Michael Edward Todd of Macon, Georgia, and Hamid Sifai of Chicago are charged with conspiring to illegally export military components for fighter jets and attack helicopters from the U.S. to Iran. Their arrests were announced at a news conference in Macon this morning. I mean, believe in stupidity. Good golly.
The almighty dollar rules
is,
again.
Is Steve with us yet? I don't think he is. But at any rate, Steve was going to... Oh, okay, we've got Jim Garner on the line. We've got one other news item, and then we'll get away and talk with Jim Garner. But I do have something that Steve brought to my attention. I want to give the listeners the fact that today, June 24th, but in 1975, an Eastern Airlines jet crashed near John F. Kennedy International Airport in New York City, killing 115 people. And it was on this day in 1975. The Boeing 727 was brought down by wind shear
a sudden change in wind speed or direction. On the afternoon of June 24th, the New York area experienced severe thunderstorms with heavy winds and rain. Thunderstorms are often caused for microbursts, damaging downbursts of wind that can be immensely destructive and are particularly dangerous to air travel. Two different flights arriving at JFK in Queens, New York that day reported significant problems with winds as they brought the airplanes in on runway 22. Air traffic controllers, however, ignored the warnings and kept the runway open. Eastern Airlines Flight 66 from New Orleans was about a mile from the runway when it was lifted suddenly and violently by the wind, then was immediately pushed downward. The plane struck a row of lights that tore off the outer portion of the left wing. It proceeded to crash into more light poles and broke into pieces just above the ground. Only 7 passengers and 2 flight attendants survived the fiery crash, all with very serious injuries. The remaining 109 passengers and 6 crew members lost their lives. Wind shear remains a serious threat to flying, but significant advances in identifying areas and times of concern have virtually eliminated deadly crashes caused by sudden winds. I had 2 people that I could relate to on that flight. One was a good friend of mine, his son, Captain Gib Guerin in Atlanta. His son, Michael Guerin, was a flight engineer on that flight. And also, I had the occasion to fly with a flight attendant that was one of the surviving flight attendants on a flight that I had a few years when I was, as a matter of fact, a few years after that is when I was temporarily on duty up in Washington, New York, and I had the occasion to meet her and chat with her, and so I knew 2 people on that flight, but a very tough thing for Eastern Airlines and all the folks, and Jim, I believe you probably remember that too. Jim Gardner, are you on the line with us?
I'm here.
Okay, we hear you. Yes, I can hear you, Jim.
Well, actually, that crash predated my career at Eastern. I started at Eastern in 1980. So I really was not familiar with that particular one.
You know, Jim, you know Gib Guerin. Of course, everyone knows and loves Jim Gib Guerin. It means so much to retired Eastern Pilots Association. Folks, we've got on the line tonight Captain Jim Gardner of retired Eastern Pilots Association. And Jim has been doing a fantastic job with the REPA convention, and he's agreed to come on, and we chat a little bit about the retired Eastern Airlines Pilots Association and anything else Jim's got on his mind to talk about tonight. But, Jim, it's really good to have you with us tonight.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
First of all, I was just talking about Gib Guerin, and just a few more comments about that Flight 66. I remember that Gib was on a flight, and he was in either Portland, Oregon or Seattle, Washington, and his co-pilot on that flight out west was Tally Wright. You remember Captain Tal Wright was the co-pilot, and they were on a layover out there when Gib was notified that Mike was on the ill-fated Flight 66. Gib, they brought Gib home, but that was my recollection of that flight and those 2 people. But getting back to REPA convention, I'd like to talk just a minute about the REPA convention. I believe, where are we holding it this year, Jim?
Well, we're going to be at the Grand Hyatt Tampa Bay, which is just about a mile from the Tampa International Airport. It's a beautiful hotel. It's first class all the way. And the folks who come to the convention are going to get treated by tremendous views of the sunset off to the west, and actually be, if you get the fortune to have rooms facing the runway, watching some of these rookies make landings at Tampa International and grading them. So it's a wonderful hotel. We're going to have a great agenda. Alton Brown, who is a celebrity chef and a client of mine, has agreed to come and speak at the ladies' luncheon and kind of gather with us. He is a aviation enthusiast. He's about a year ago he got his private pilot's license, and he's passed his instrument written, and hopefully he'll have his instrument rating by the time he gets to Tampa in November. But great. We're really looking forward to it. We've had some great venues the last couple of years, and looking forward to more. I'm in the middle of negotiating 2012, and it looks like it's going to be another great one.
Yeah, we did. I think last year we had it in Charleston, I believe, wasn't it, Jim?
Well, the year before last was in Charleston, and that was wonderful. That we did that at the old Francis Marion Hotel, which had been renovated, which
Savannah.
Was right there,
Savannah, yeah.
Downtown. Savannah was the year before Charleston, and last year was at the King and Prince in St. Simon's Island.
Golly, I was there. I forgot last year what happened to my life.
Well, you get them all mixed up, Neil.
Yeah, I guess that's a little bit about age. I'm getting over 30 now.
Well, just a little bit. You know, when I go out and look for a hotel for our group, I look for some of the smaller venues. That can, I mean, we'll have 250 folks at our conventions. I've been able to discover some really first-class hotels, and they're treating us well. We moved the convention from the late August, early September time frame around Labor Day back into the late October and first of November time frame for two reasons. It got us away from hurricane season in the Florida and the coastal areas, and it also got us better venues at better rates.
Mm-hmm.
So we've really been fortunate so far to get some wonderful hotels, and this year is just going to be fabulous.
Yeah, that's good. Jim, Bud Heskock, hi, glad you're with us tonight. I have a question for you, sir.
Sure.
We were talking earlier and came up with an idea. We would love to be able to broadcast from one of these conventions, probably a couple shows or not. Do you think there'd be an opportunity we might be able to do that with you or for you?
Well, you know, I think that's possible. As a matter of fact, this year at Tampa, our convention starts on Friday, and that might be a perfect time to do a broadcast from there. We might have to move our cocktail hour a little bit, or we could do it during the cocktail hour.
That would be a good idea, too.
I could just see setting up shop in the lobby, you know, thinking about St. Simon's last year and Charleston and Savannah. You know, just sitting out in the lobby as guys go by and their wives talking about Eastern Airlines on the radio show. I think it would be fabulous.
Well, that's registration day, and talking to them, we could do a red carpet thing like they do on entertainment television or something that. But as people are coming into the cocktail party, we could do an interview with people
good
coming
that's the
into
best
the cocktail
place to do
party. And we could do it right there in the lobby or wherever we have the cocktail party. There's also a wonderful covered patio out there next to the pool that could be done out. I mean, it'd be perfect. Hey, I encourage that. Let's do it.
Hey, listen, do you think they would actually allow Luann to come and do a show at the convention?
Why
mean,
not?
I can talk proper when I want to.
Well, I mean, why not? Let's put that together. I think that would be a great thing to do. As a matter of fact, I think that we ought to make it a tradition.
Oh, there you go.
I'm for that.
You mean Luann or either the show?
The show.
Oh, that'd be
why,
good.
Why not do a live broadcast of the show? I mean, some of the years, depending on the hotel we get, we try to vary our the days that we do the convention on by the days that the hotel really needs to sell rooms. And the Tampa Bay Hotel, the Grand Hyatt Tampa Bay, actually is a business hotel and resort, so their empty days are Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The King and Prince was a vacation area, and their empty days were Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. So on some days, some years, I mean, can y'all move your show from Friday to a Sunday?
Oh, heck, we could record the show and play it, at a future date as well, and play it during the weekday, as a matter of fact.
Absolutely.
Because we, are actually signed up. And by the way, I want to thank REPA and you guys. Thank you so much. And please, Jim, give our thanks to the board of directors with the Retired Eastern Pilots Association for keeping us on the air for another year, folks. And
well,
I appreciate
it. We think what you're doing is wonderful. Listen, whatever we can do to extend the legacy of Eastern Airlines. Listen, Eastern was a class act all the way. It was the best airline in the free world for the years that I was there. And my goal and part of why I want to be on the board of directors at REPA and working with the foundation for the scholarship program at Auburn, and especially the memorial fund and the plaques that we have up on the walls at Hartsfield, is to find a way to perpetuate and extend the legacy of Eastern Airlines, and particularly the Eastern Airlines pilot. But, we were all a big family, and you just don't see that. In today's world, we had a wonderful airline, and we gave first-class service. Our flight attendants at Eastern Airlines deserved to sit in first class. That's how good
Absolutely.
They were. That's how classy they were.
Yeah.
So,
well, they sure were.
Whatever I can do to spend my extra time and free time to extend the legacy of Eastern and our pilots is, that's my main goal.
That's great. Now, could you elaborate on the plaques? I know there are a lot of people that have made it to Atlanta. Some people have not made it to Atlanta to see the plaques. Could you kind of tell us or tell our radio fans what the plaques stood for and where they were located?
Right. The plaques are located, and I believe the plaques are located on the wall as you come around what is now AirTran, going to the security area. And they were put there years ago. They're big brass plaques. And the concept at first was to put all deceased Eastern pilots up on the wall. And they were put up there individually year by year. Well, we kind of ran out of space. We kind of ran out of plaque space. And it's very expensive to do that. And then it got to the point of, okay, what do you do with the plaques, and how do you preserve that long term? So Jerry Frost, myself, and several other people and the board have struggled for a couple of years on what to do, and we finally came up with a solution. And it's a three-step solution, really. The first one was, we needed to identify all the pilots who flew at Eastern Airlines from inception to March 1989. Every pilot that flew honorably at Eastern Airlines is going to go up on that plaque. And we've contracted with a company in New York to make a sheet and put all these names up on there where we have two large plaques. And we're going to fill those two large plaques with these two sheets full of names, and they're going to be first initial, middle initial, last name, and hire date, I believe. But everybody's going to be up there. And Atlanta has agreed that we can leave them there until they decide that they're going to renovate, at which time we would be obligated to pay for the movement. Therein lies the third phase. The second phase is putting the sheets up on the brass plaques. The third phase is, okay, what do we do with these plaques long term? And that's a controversy that we are still struggling with. There is several options. One, we looked at the Smithsonian, and that's just way too expensive. We can't support it. The other one was leaving them there in Atlanta. Atlanta has said as long as they've got a space for them, they're we're welcome. But if they renovate and every time they renovate, they've got to move. Now, there's a third option for which I'm looking at very closely, and that is they just broke ground for a brand-new commercial aviation museum right there adjacent to the Atlanta Hartsfield Airport. And I think this may be a great place for the final resting place for these particular plaques to create a Eastern memorial, if you would. Because Eastern, A, was the first airline in Atlanta. A lot of Delta folks don't realize that, but it was Eastern Airlines who was the first airline in Atlanta. And I believe that Atlanta is the place that we should locate these things and kind of anchor us there. So the only problem with that is it's going to take money, as everything else. And in order to extend the legacy of Eastern Airlines and what we want to do, I think that all the employees of Eastern Airlines need to take a good hard look at creating an Eastern Pavilion there.
I think it's a great idea.
The museum is already looking at acquiring or trying to acquire a 727 simulator, the inside of the simulator, or a cockpit, if you would. I've talked with several of the director and several of the board members there, and they are very enthusiastic about creating a whole wing dedicated just to Eastern. But the problem is, with any museum, it runs on money. And we've got to find a way, in my opinion, to raise the money and to perpetuate our legacy. And I'm not just talking about Eastern pilots. I'm talking about the whole Eastern family.
Yeah.
We were a great family.
Yeah, you know, yes, we were.
And I just think that this is worth our while, worth our time, and that every chance we get, we should talk it up. Including, if you would, all of our Eastern family looking at the REPA convention to as a conduit to associate with one another. And bringing our family members and our children or grandchildren to our convention to kind of discover the energy and the enthusiasm and the love that we all had for Eastern Airlines.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, that would be great, Jim. It really would. EARA has conventions, and the Silver Liners have their conventions. Margaret, I think you asked, you got a question.
Well, I did want to ask a question. Hi, Jim. This is Margaret. You mentioned Delta a moment ago. Do they have plaques as well in the airport?
They do not.
Wow.
Oh, interesting.
That is, and Eastern is the only one that has the pilots that actually got the plaques.
What a better way to remember someone long after they've gone, for the service that they performed for the company they worked for and the family they were, to have that plaque in the Atlanta area.
You know, here's a personal thought. I had a great friend, my best friend that I've ever had, John Cornei was a first officer with Eastern Airlines, was killed in our airplane in 1971. And the last time I was in the terminal in Atlanta, I went by that plaque area there. I think it's on Concourse C, Jim. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's, I mean, not Concourse, but it's in the South Terminal. But at any rate,
It's in the North Terminal.
Delta's
in the South Terminal.
And I looked at that plaque, and I saw my partner's name on that. And believe me, you know, I got goosebumps, and a little tear came into my eye because he was such a friend. And people that know these pilots and their names that are put on the wall there. But you're right. It should be more than just the pilots because we are a great family. We really are. And I think that this is an opportunity not only with REPA, but the EAR group, the Silver Liners, the Silver Falcons, all of us ought to try to continue this legacy that we all have. What better way than to try to get together and find ideas? The museum, the Commercial Aviation Museum in Atlanta, that would be a fantastic place to exhibit Eastern Airlines.
I have a question for Jim Gardner.
Jim, go ahead. Jim Hart?
Yeah, this is Jim Hart on the beautiful island of Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts. Jim, do you ever have conventions up here in the Northeast? We have such a large Eastern group throughout the New England area, throughout Washington, D.C., Virginia, and the Mid-Atlantic states. Have you considered this before?
Let's go.
Well, actually, I have. It's a goal of mine. But one of my first act as chairman of the convention chairman was to bring the convention to Charleston to try to attract some of the folks from Washington down. Unfortunately, 90% of the people who are attending the conventions are from either the Florida area or the Atlanta area. And what does it take to attract people up there from New York and Boston and Washington down to our convention? I would love it. I was on the MEC at Eastern, and, I mean, I made some good friends on the MEC from all those bases, including Chicago and Houston. And there's nothing more than I would love to do that. And, by the way, there's nothing more than I would love to do than to try to coordinate with all the other groups at Eastern and maybe one day have our convention at the same location at the same time.
Wow, boy, that would be phenomenal. That would be great.
I work with a great group of folks at Helms Briscoe who helped me plan the and negotiate our contracts for our conventions. And we brought a sense of professionalism to these negotiations. And I believe that if the good Lord's willing and the creek don't rise, that all of these groups could congregate together. And maybe in the year 2014 have a consolidated convention, all of us separate to our own right, because we're proud of our own groups, but yet at the same time and have a kind of Eastern gala, if you would, at the culmination of all of them.
Great.
Because I think each and every group has their own identity and needs to keep it. But at the end of the day, all of us, we're Eastern employees and Eastern family. And while we were always known as the quote-unquote in-your-face airline because of our roots, listen, I've never met a group of people who loved one another more and respected one another more than we did at Eastern. And I was at Piedmont and US Air as well. After my days at Eastern left, so I would love to do that. And as I grow in REPA, and hopefully one day I can lead our group in that direction. I would really love that.
I know, Jim, what you're speaking of. I'm the immediate past president of the Florida chapter of the 8th Air Force Historical Society. I took over about 8 years ago, and we had 550 members. Unfortunately, we're down to 270 now because of attrition. And I had to take a survey among our group to determine where most of the members lived. And we found that the majority of our members were living in the greater Orlando area. However, we were always drawing from St. Pete, Tampa, and across the state to Cocoa Beach and down. And so that we've held most of our conventions in the lower half of the state of Florida. But you have all of those things to consider, I realize. But I think your suggestion of having a tremendous gathering of everyone at Eastern, pilots, crew, stewardess, ground pounders, everyone, I think it'd be wonderful.
Well, and there's a lot of great venues to do it at, too. Washington, D.C., I would love to do. But go ahead, Margaret. Was that you?
Oh, I was, and I apologize for interrupting there. I was just going to say, Jim and Jim, I'd like to make a comment.
Jim and Jim.
We have 545 members in our radio club. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. And the radio show could actually help spear this
I think it, we have 545 members, and this membership is it consists of every area of Eastern Airlines, from marketing with you, Jim Hart, in your area, flight attendants, of course, mechanics, the ground services, in-flight services, the airline pilots, the mechanics, all of these. We have members representing. And that's a pretty good – we haven't been on the air now, but for 24 shows, and we have 545 members now. So I want to help you, Jim, and I think we need to get Vito Borelli with EARA and also the Silverliners group and all of these groups that we can come together. I think it's a great idea, Jim Gardner.
Well, let's make it a goal of ours to use the radio show that you guys are doing, and this is great, in order to kind of promote this and bring the family back in together. And listen, if you've got my support on having a show in Tampa and every convention from here on, as far as I'm concerned, I think it's a wonderful idea.
Hey,
but
you know, yeah, go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry.
I would like to, before we get through, I would like to make sure that we talk about the scholarship program that we have going at Auburn University. But you go ahead.
Well, I can tell you a little bit about that, but because I'm on the board of directors of the REPA Foundation, which represents the Retired Eastern Pilots Scholarship Foundation at Auburn University. We haven't talked enough about that on the radio show, and I think we ought to bring that up from time to time, as a matter of fact, maybe every show, and tell them that we do have a scholarship for, hopefully, the Eastern family, that those students that want to go into aviation as a career would consider. Of course, our scholarship foundation is represented by Auburn, and you'd have to be attending the Auburn University and be in the aviation program. And the aviation program being whether it's the business commercial pilot, which is a business management program, an aviation management program at Auburn, are either in the aero engineering field over at Auburn. A lot of folks don't know that Auburn is a great aviation university, and it dates way back World War II days. And so when we say we, REPA sponsored initially the foundation. Captain Gene Casadevan over in Louisiana
is the president of the foundation. And we have two scholarships now that are given every year. They're not very big scholarships, but, you know, everything helps when you're in school and you're trying to survive it with the expenses of college. And whether, you know, $1,000 or $2,000, all of these students are very appreciative of this. And you have to be in the top category to be selected. And we have two awards that are given in the name of Eastern Airlines. And these people respond by sending us a letter and thanking us very much for the award that helps their career. They have to be a junior. They have to have established the fact that they are going to be in aviation. And it's determined by the scholarship committee over at Auburn as to the person that actually receives that scholarship. So it's a great program, and we'd like to have more people to contribute some donations and contributions to that foundation.
Let me throw this out at you: the Auburn University has got a very old 50-ish. Terminal building over there for which their flight school is housed and their flight department is housed. I've been there many times. And I believe that we can take some of our Eastern memorabilia and create a display there to advertise the foundation and the scholarship award and the scholarship recipients, but also to instill a sense of history in these young people coming up. Because, listen, the pilots and the employees at Eastern Airlines were pioneers in our industry. And if anything that our young people lack, it's a sense of the history that we have. In addition, they have a brand-new terminal building on the other side of the field that I think that we could also go there. Instead of just putting all our eggs in one basket, I'm willing to bet you that there is a plethora of memorabilia, that every uniforms and badges and posters and things that we could do to put it together so that people understood, and not only understand the pilot side of the fence. But the flight attendants did an important job. Ticket agents, gate agents, our reservations folks, our maintenance folks, our ramp service folks, they all made up part of Eastern Airlines. And I think that that is also a great venue to extend our history. And so what I'm saying to folks out there who may be listening, look at at the things that you've got. And look in your heart and see what you can give to promote the legacy of Eastern Airlines. There's no better place to put it than in the Memorial Fund to perpetuate Eastern Airlines at its final location for our memorial plaques, the scholarship fund that we've got going at Auburn University, and also by getting together and sharing our history together at some venue in the future.
Okay, that sounds great, Jim. And also, in addition to that, David Lewis, of course, passed away just a couple of years ago, and he wrote that great book about Eddie Rickenbacker. They do have a lot of memorabilia, a lot of information about Eastern through Eddie Rickenbacker. A lot of stuff has been archived over at Auburn University. If you want to find out the Eastern Airlines history, then you can go online. I've done it, and go into the Auburn University research, and you can find all sorts of information about Eastern Airlines and also about Eddie Rickenbacker. So that's one of the reasons that we did select Auburn as the university that we wanted to commit the foundation to. And they've done a good job as far as investments and keeping the legacy. So it'll be here a long time after we're gone. The history of Eastern, or the name of Eastern Airlines at Auburn University, will go on and on and on.
Well, let me say one last thing before I'm being accused of talking too much. I've never been accused of that, but especially from Jim Holder. What we have is an opportunity to invest in our legacy. And in perpetuating our legacy, at the end of the day, once we're all gone, it's going to require money to perpetuate. But one of the best investments that we can make, and let me talk directly to the Eastern pilots here for the REPA convention. Don't just come yourself. Don't just bring your wife. Bring your children. Bring your grandchildren. Let them experience the camaraderie that we had at Eastern Airlines and an experience that they're missing today, because they are our legacy, and they're the ones that are going to keep our legacy alive. So instead of looking at the convention just as a place to commiserate and bring and meet and greet and have fun with your old Eastern buddies, Let's make it a place that we bring our families to introduce them to the great airline that we were.
Very good, Jim. I think we've got a lot of things in the pot here, and I think it's something that we can talk about in our future shows. We can talk to the folks over at EARA, folks at the Silver Liners, the Silver Falcons. All of these organizations we can talk about, and let's do try to keep this thing going, and it will go, and for certain things like the foundation over at Auburn, it's going to continue. There's no question about that. But we want to get more than just a $2,000 a year scholarship. We'd like to have something that is very respectable, you know, $5,000 or whatever, $10,000, an entire education or whatever for young folks that are in getting into aviation. So I think we've got something going here tonight. And Jim, I certainly appreciate you being with us tonight. And I want to talk to more folks like Captain Bud Robbins, who is the president of REPA this year at the convention.
Perfect opportunity at the convention in Tampa. Let me extend the invitation. Let's have a live broadcast on Friday, that Friday at the kickoff of that convention. Let's do
it. You got it. You got it, my man.
We'll be there.
And if Bud doesn't like it, he can fire me.
I'm for it.
All right. We'll even let a United Airlines captain, Bud Hescock, attend.
Yeah. You know what? Absolutely. We'll take all our friends in the airline business, because I wore more than one hat myself.
There you go.
You know, before I was a pilot for United, I was worked for Allegheny at Boston Logan, and we shared many years together with Eastern people a ski chalet up in the White Mountains.
Wow.
So I know what the Eastern people are like. I loved spending time with them. But as you know, we always take the first job we can get, so I ended up with United. But they are a fantastic group of people.
I'm on a radio show.
And I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I'm one of the speakers.
Oh, okay.
Do we have some other folks on the line? We've got one at area code 410. Eric, can you punch the button and see if we can bring area code 410? We've got some time. Folks, we've got it scheduled for tonight. We've got it scheduled for an hour and a half, so we don't have an hour show. We've got an hour and a half show if we want to keep on going here, and we've got area code 410. Who's that?
They're on the line. Who are they? Press 1 on your phone.
No, they're on.
They're on. Okay, sorry about that. Hi, who am I speaking to?
Area code 410. Okay, they must have
He's
put the phone
around
down.
The house. Okay.
We hear what's going on in the house there now. but we'll talk more about this, Jim, and I want to get more folks with EARA and the Silver Liners and the Silver Falcons to come on, and let's share our ideas together, Jim. And I think we've got a great idea here. And if we can be of help with the radio show, then by golly, that's what we want to do. And as a matter of fact, January, we may have Eastern Airlines flying the skies again.
Could be.
That soon?
That's what I was told.
That's good.
That's amazing.
You know, it's going to be nice to get the people, those who can't come to the convention, can hear it and can hear those who are there and probably can renew old friendships.
Exactly. Can you imagine the pilots and the wives walking? You know, Jim Gardner, if we sit there in the lobby and just talk, because you and I both know, we've been to these conventions, that some of the greatest stories of Eastern Airlines are shared right there in the lobby. You know, maybe having a beer or a drink or whatever, and just sitting there and talking. I wish I could record some of the conversations at these conventions.
There's millions of stories to be told.
Yeah.
It's a perfect, Neil, it's a perfect opportunity for you to do just that. And why don't you do some candid interviews with some of our folks? I mean, why should we lose the history that
Absolutely.
These folks are having, and Lord knows, put a mic in front of Jim Holder's mouth. I mean, there's 2 weeks worth of stuff right there.
There you go.
Well,
I take this picture.
Yeah. Margaret, you said something.
I was just going to make a comment. I did not know who Mr. Hall was until we started doing the show.
Floyd Hall.
And he was so kind to email me several messages. And I was just thinking how nice it would be if he could hear the show and hear all the interviews that you would do at the convention.
Yeah.
What a joy that would be to him.
That would be. It really would be. And that's why I've been working with Jerry Frost, Jim Gardner. Jerry Frost, your treasurer over at REPA, and I have been chatting email. By the way, Jerry and Marge are out in Alaska now, so I'm sure they're really enjoying their cruise or whatever they're doing out there. But we've been sharing some ideas together also about the fact that we can record these archive shows that we have and give them to our make them available to those people that want to, that can't use the computer, that perhaps have a way of listening to the archive shows. It's funny that Jerry Frost told me that he said, Neil, I can't listen to you live sometimes. And so what I do is I record the show and I put it on my MP3 player and plug it in my ear, and then I do my run in the afternoon listening to the radio show. And so, you know, there are lots of opportunities to do that type of thing. So we want to make that available. And also, Jerry has come up with a wonderful CD of the REPA magazines, the Repartee magazines, that started in the early 70s when REPA was founded. And from that time, we have all of these magazines. What is it, about 35 years now? Somewhere around there, Jim?
Yeah, that's about right.
About 35 years, we have on a CD that we can make available to those folks that want to read some of the great stories through history of Eastern Airlines. So that's available. So we're going to put that on our web store. I've already been working with Jim, with Jerry Frost about doing that. We've got a lot of opportunity here to get the message of Eastern out to those people that want to hear it. And we've got magazines such as Repartee, which is the best in the airline community. There's no other magazine, I don't believe, that will even come close to Repartee. Which is the Retired Eastern Pilots Association's monthly, not monthly, but magazine that's published twice a year. And also with the EARA newspaper, with the Keeping in Touch EARA monthly newspaper that comes out. Everyone, just about everyone with Eastern, I think they have about 11,000 subscribers to that newspaper, get that and anxiously await it so that they can read about what's happening with Eastern Airlines folks. And so all of these things, we have a great opportunity here, like you say, Jim, to come together, maybe not every year, but maybe, you know, maybe every 2 years, or kind of like high school reunions. A lot of folks don't get together, you know, every year with a high school reunion. They maybe hit 2 or 5 years with a high school reunion. Maybe we can do something like that, Jim Gardner.
Well, listen, why not it every 5 years? Why not do it every year and let people decide when they want to come? Because let me tell you, here's a demographic that we've got to come to grips with. They're not making any more of us anymore. Our groups are getting smaller and smaller. And but by joining together and celebrating together, we can actually go to better venues with better facilities at a better price and keep our individuality as groups while we celebrate Eastern Airlines and the commonality that we've all had together. And
right.
At the end of the day, you know, instead of having 200 of Eastern pilots and families together, why couldn't we have 500 of the entire Eastern pilots family together? Why couldn't we fill up at the King and Prince last year? We contracted to sell 300 rooms. We sold over 430. And because the venue was so good that people wanted to come in early and stay late, the hotel loved it.
Yeah.
If all of us look together and recognize that we have our separate groups, that we need to keep that autonomy separately, but yet pull our resources together to go to one venue at the same time, we actually can go to some great places and have some great times together without getting into each other's business, if you will.
Question, Jim Gardner.
Yes.
Question here. Do you know if this has ever been discussed with EARA or the Silver Liners or Falcons?
Has never been approached, as far as I'm concerned. The Silver Liners inquired about Charleston because we had our convention there a couple of years ago, and I have broached the subject with, in passing, to a couple of folks who are familiar with the Silver Liners, but we've never actually done that before, and I think it needs to be. I think the discussions, and listen, anybody who out there at the EARA or the Retired Eastern Pilots or the Retired Eastern Employees Association, contact me. I'm all ears. I'm looking for ways.
Well, hey, Jim, let me cut in here.
Yeah.
We've got Jim Hart on the air, and he's got the ear of the EARA folks. Jim, are you listening?
Yes, I am. Jim Gardner. I attend a meeting in the Miami offices when I'm in Florida once a month, the first Wednesday, second Wednesday of the month. And we have a board of directors, and we have our current president is Mike Finseth. However, it seems that Vito Borelli is closer to other aspects of EARA, such as the startup of the New Eastern. But we have so many things. I would be more than happy to get in touch with the office down there and propose what we've been discussing here and see what we can get from them as far as suggestions.
Well, here's the deal. It starts with a simple dialogue. No pressure, no agenda, just a simple dialogue.
That's right.
And I am available for that dialogue.
Great.
I would look forward to it. I would look at it. And you have to understand, I absolutely respect the need for having an autonomy for each and every group out there. Because we had our own individuality. If Eastern was nothing, it was an airline of individuals who had a common purpose,
mm-hmm.
and that was serving our customers. So I'm all ears for finding common ground to do this. And my goal would be to have a convention in which all of us were at the same place at the same time in 2014.
Well, go ahead, Jim.
We've got, now, I'm thinking, we're talking here, we're thinking the people locally, you know, on the East Coast and the Midwest. We also want to take into consideration those of you that are in Panama, in Buenos Aires, in
Puerto Rico,
and San Juan. Call, get involved with the rest of us, because the family extends outside the continental United States, and we want to bring everybody back into the family. So if you hear this broadcast, get active and get involved.
I think we've got the start of something that I think we can put together, Jim Garner and Jim Hart and you, Margaret, and
mm-hmm.
Bud. And
Yeah, the United
and,
guy
yeah,
will come.
We're going to be excited about it on the radio show here. Yeah. We're going to talk about it more with each of our shows. I think it's going to be part of our show.
Yeah.
And we're going to bring this thing together. I really think we can bring it together.
What I'd like to do is record a lot of the conversations we have at the convention and play them at a later time over the air so everybody can
absolutely.
Hear the
That'd
story.
Be great. That'd be great.
So that's what we need to do.
That would be great.
I got to tell you, I think, in all candor, that one of the greatest things that the radio show can do is to record the war stories that everybody has to tell.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, it's those war stories that pique people's interest, that people want to remember, and that people that want to cherish in their heart. And actually is a part of Eastern Airlines.
Yeah.
So I got to tell you, I think this idea of having live broadcasts and recorded broadcasts at not only the REPA convention, but all of them, and even maybe getting some video in there.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's the spark that creates the juices that helps us, you know, perpetuate our legacy. And our legacy is wonderful. It's a great legacy. There is none better in the aviation industry.
Well, you know, you just mentioned the video. That can be easily done because this radio show has an outstanding website. And with that website, we can throw in the videos. And we can put that on there. We've got some great videos now of Eastern Airlines, the commercials, the great commercials, Arthur Godfrey and, you know, Eddie Rickenbacker and Dick Merrill and all. And so these are, you know, the two of them tie in quite well, I think. And, of course, REPA has its REPA Online website that I think could also contribute a great deal to bringing this thing together. Getting the pilots, you know, behind this this thing to get together, maybe once a year with a group convention. I think this is going to take off, Jim.
Well, I actually, you speak of videos and Arthur Godfrey. I was researching YouTube a couple of months ago, and I did not know that Arthur Godfrey made a movie about Eastern Airlines.
Well, you have not been to our website.
Merrill was sitting in the right seat while Arthur Godfrey was lording it up as captain. But I plan on trying to put together in the memorabilia room coming up a screen with a computer and a projector and showing some of the stuff that's just on YouTube about Eastern Airlines. It's amazing.
Well, let me mention, you don't have to go to YouTube. I put every one of the Eastern Airlines, any YouTube video that is on the Internet is now on our website. You don't have to go anywhere except EALRadioShow.com. Go to the video
page, and you'll see everyone,
Arthur Godfrey and every one of them. Even movies that have, even any movie that has Eastern Airlines in that movie, we put on the video section of our website.
If there's websites that can be done, Neil can do it.
I can do it.
let's take a whole place at the convention Tampa and the one the following year, and let's do that. Let's advertise what you're doing and putting up these things. I think it would be and putting it in the memorabilia room so that when people come in, they can see the memorabilia, they can look up on the screen. Let's do that.
Absolutely.
And, I think that's an integral part of trying to expand the communications effort.
Yeah. You know, here's another thought. We've got a few more minutes before we're going to sign off. But here's another thought, Jim. EARA has its Hall of Fame, and I'm not certain whether they're continuing. Jim Hart, do you know whether every year at the EARA convention they are still honoring a Hall of Fame?
No, I'm sorry, Neil. We had to discontinue that a few years ago because the gentleman who headed up the program had passed away. And what they had, of course, were so many people that were considered for the Hall of Fame that I think toward the end they had a difficult time trying to select the candidates or the awardees.
Yeah,
I know I was successful years ago in putting up my my manager, Mary Jane Ornelas Walter, who ultimately appeared in Who's Who in Business Women across the United States. She was an excellent employee and did a tremendous job for us. But no, it's no longer taking place, Neil.
Well, we have REPA has a Hall of Fame, the Retired Eastern Pilots Association. I think the Silverliners probably have theirs. I thought, and by the way, the EARA, just because they discontinued, they still have their Hall of Fame. And we've started our own on our radio show. We've had three people that I felt that would be deserving of that status of a Hall of Fame recipient inducted. And that is, of course, Eddie Rickenbacker, Floyd Hall, and Dick Merrill. Those are the three initially that we have on our website that we have selected for that Hall of Fame. But I think we can do so much with the other organizations and seeing if we can get, you know, there's so many things we've talked about tonight. I don't even remember half of them, but some of the things, Jim Gardner, we were talking about, having a room that we can set aside that have memorabilia, Eastern memorabilia. Now, I believe, Jim Hart, that down in Miami, they have got the museum going up now in where, down in Dinner
Downtown
Key.
Down in Miami, I believe it is.
South Miami. And
yep.
It's going to have aviation, Miami Historical Aviation. It's going to be kind of a museum. And I think Eastern Airlines is going to play a big part in that museum, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yes, yes. In fact, Bill Hirsch from New York has shipped down quite a bit of material, and our EARA office in Miami also was renting a huge space. You might remember a restaurant in right near the airport.
Right.
That had all kinds of memorabilia. I don't believe it's in operation now, but I believe they did donate many, many things that they had to us in hopes that one day we would have a museum there. And
yeah.
It's supposed to open sometime this month. I'm going to try to find out more about it. And I'll
yeah.
have more on this program next Friday to tell you.
Very good, very good. Well, listen, folks, Jim, thank you so much for being with us tonight, and let's continue this this discussion. I think we've got something here that we've talked about tonight that really can be a great thing in what we all want to see, and that's the legacy of Eastern Airlines continued far beyond the time that we're here.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me, and I enjoyed the conversation. And by the way, this is the same kind of conversations that we have at our convention. And for all you Eastern pilots out there who've never attended, come on. We're going to have a great time at the Grand Hyatt Tampa Bay over the Halloween weekend.
Very good. Thank you so much. And before we sign off, just a couple of announcements here. want to tell you that we're still trying to maintain the memorial page as best we can, including right now the EARA's transition list that appears every month in the EARA news newspaper. And we also are linked to the REPA memorial page, so that if you want to go over to the REPA online, you can go to that right on our website. Just click it on, and you'll see all of those pilots from 1928 all the way up into the present, where Jim Holder and Jerry Frost do a great job in maintaining that list of those folks, those pilots that have flown west. So we want to make sure that you guys know that that's available on our website. We've also added two new pages. One I call I Remember page. I Remember page. And what we're talking about, I remember Eastern Airlines. This thing that I remember. And the first article that I posted, I personally posted, was I remember when I was hired with Eastern. And so I wanted to put that on that page, and I did. We also have a historian page. The historian page is going to be maintained by it's going to be, well, I guess maintained, contributed mainly from Steve McDonald, which we hoped would be on. Is he on tonight? Oh, okay. But Steve McDonald is our historian, and Steve McDonald is going to continue to add some articles to that historian page. So we want to make sure that you go to those pages. Steve, are you with us?
Well, I am now. Neil, are you still on the air?
Oh, golly, we've been on the air talking about you for the last hour plus.
I just got back on. The computer has been off.
Oh, sorry about that.
Me too.
It was a great conversation with Jim Gardner. Jim Gardner, Steve McDonald's with us tonight. We only have a few minutes left here on our show because we've almost, by the way, we've almost done an hour and a half show tonight.
Didn't seem like it.
It went real fast. And, Steve, we were talking about you. I'm sure your ears lit up or turned a little bit red or hot or whatever they call it.
There you go.
Whatever.
But at any rate, we've talked about you. We've got a historian page. We do have a question. We did have a question that was asked by a couple of our members about identifying who three people were in a picture that they received. And, of course, the obvious one that I identified and they identified was Floyd Hall. But the other one was Eddie Rickenbacker, and Steve McDonald identified the other person in that picture, which was Sam Higginbottom.
Yeah, right. I remember the photograph. It's Captain Eddie and Captain Hall and Sam Higginbottom.
It dates back to 1972. So, folks, if you want to see that, it's on the website, and it's on the historian page. So go to the historian page, and you'll see some articles that's posted by Steve McDonald. And if you have any questions, by the way, about Eastern history, please get in touch with us on the Contact Us page. We'll get it over to Steve and see if he can answer your question. But we have just a few minutes left, and I want to tell you that, Bud, you've got a message here.
Yeah, we want to try to attend as many luncheons around the country as Puerto Rico or Mexico. Get involved in good Eastern family fellowship. We will be remembered for a long time if we keep the Eastern legacy alive. Support EARA, REPA, the Silver Liners, and other organizations, websites, and shows like this radio show.
And speaking of the radio show, we still need your support for this radio show and our website. If you'd like to give a donation, we have a simple way of adding your support on the home page with the donation PayPal icon button just to the right of the radio show icon. Don't worry if you do not have a PayPal account, as it will allow you to use any one of the major credit cards for your donation. It will automatically alert us that your gift has been deposited in the EAL Radio Show Incorporated's not-for-profit account. If you want to send a check the old-fashioned way, please send it to EAL Radio Show, 145 Hilden Road, Suite 115, Ponte Vedra, Florida, 32081. If you don't have a pen to copy this, then go to our website, and you'll find it when you click on Contact Us. Either way, you'll receive a recording of the music by the New York Philharmonic Orchestra given to all Eastern employees by then-President Floyd D. Hall in appreciation for their loyalty and dedication to making Eastern the number one airline in the industry. Your support would be greatly appreciated. Unlike our other associations, we do not have yearly dues for membership. We hope that we will still be able to provide you with the best website in the airline industry and the best talk show totally dedicated to the Eastern family.
Folks, be sure to tune in again next Friday at 6 p.m. when Eastern Flight 25 will be pushing back from the gate. That's our show for tonight. So from the Eastern Radio Show and the Eastern family, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average, as another popular show would say, we'll say for tonight.
Good night, Margaret and Luann.
Good night, Jim, Steve, Bud, Neil.
Good night, Jim, Margaret, Luann, Steve.
Good night, Bud, Jim, Margaret, and Luann, and Steve. And from all of us tonight, we say
good night, Eastern family.
Already I'm so lonesome I could die. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go. There's so many times I've let you down. So many times I've played around. I tell you now, they don't mean a thing. Every place I go, I'll think of you. Every song I sing, I'll sing for you. When I come back, I'll bring your wedding ring. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. Now the time has come to leave you. One more time, let me kiss you. Then close your eyes and I'll be on my way. Dream about the days to come when I won't have to leave alone. About the times I won't have to say. Kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go.
I hate to go.